There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live, Talks Automotive.
That's what we're going to do now. It's Dubai International Motor Show, and it is on from the 14th to the 18th of November. It's the Dubai World Trade Center. There's a great deal of excitement about this, as there always is. Biennial event. Two guests with us today. Alex Kappa-Murdoch from Miss Auto Know is back. It's been a month or two since we've seen you. Good to have you back in.
Thank you.
All right, then. And also, Imtiazhan Giado is here. Well known from Nightline with James Pikeaway, but joining us, deigning to join us from Motoring Middle East. Imtiazhan, nice to have you here as well.
Nice to be here.
So look, let's look at the show. I'm going to start with you, Alex. What's going to be there?
Oh, my goodness. What's not going to be there? So this is the 14th year of the show, and it is the biggest show in the Middle East and Africa, and there are going to be... I mean, in terms of how many people are going to be there, I'd say there's going to be quite a few thousand over the days. But more than 550 cars are going to be on show with 100 global and regional premieres, which is something to be very, very excited about. Mainly cars, Tim. If you want to know what's at a car show, cars.
Well, Claire and I were talking about this earlier, and we were like, so these are two car boffins, these are two petrol heads. What's the main question to ask? So I said to Claire, what's the best colour for a car? Because Imtiazhan, of course, that's the most important question, isn't it?
Ooh, what question? What question to ask?
Yes, see?
I think in the Middle East, it's black because everything else is white.
But it's interesting, this, because they actually do research on colours of cars every year, the colour of the year. And I kid you not, it was black a year or two ago. I don't know what it is this year.
Actually, I think the colour that's certainly coming in from a lot of the manufacturers is going back to a type of green. So obviously British Racing Green was very prominent in not only the sort of 50s and 60s, but very much so again towards the late 80s. Now we're starting to see manufacturers coming back with these beautiful green colours.
Mm. Although green cars don't always have the best resale.
Really?
Yeah, because isn't there something attached to them, a superstition of green cars?
I think
it's the least popular. Yeah, exactly. They're meant to be
unlucky. Is that not right?
You'll never shift them.
Really?
Unfortunately, but true. That's why so few green cars on the roads.
Well, it's like black is very difficult to respray, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got to be so good at it. All right, then.
Tim, you've managed already to dumb it down to car colour.
I know, but I did.
And we're only in the first part of this.
Give me 2 minutes and I'll simplify it. What's being launched? Interesting, let me ask you, because if we've got 100, there are some global launches, some regional launches, what is floating your boat, as it were?
Well, there's a couple of huge announcements, some of which, unfortunately, we can't really talk about yet. Chevrolet is going to have something very fast. Actually, the most powerful car they've ever made is going to be on their stand. Right. And a whole bunch of vintage classic trucks as well, off-road modified cars. Then we're looking at people like... hold on. I'll just look at some of my notes. We're looking at Toyota. There'll be a full hybrid section, so there's nothing but hybrids on there. Right. So you have the new Camry hybrid, like the hydrogen fuel cell electric Mirai, which is the world's first hydrogen fuel production car.
And how big are hybrids this year? Because they're coming
massive.
Aren't they?
I mean,
really?
If you look at the way the motor show is being set up, it's going to be a lot of focus on electric cars and hybrid vehicles this year. And it's seeing a lot of obviously push from the government in this regard. So manufacturers starting to respond with electric vehicles.
When you say Chevrolet are going to have their most powerful car here, just how powerful is the most powerful?
Well, I can't really say what it is, but if you Google it, you can probably figure it out because pretty much the secret's out of the bag. I'll say it's well over 700 horsepower.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
It is, but it's not even the most powerful car at the show.
What is the most powerful car at the show?
Well, it's actually going to be built right here in the UAE, and that's not a secret. I can talk about it. It's the Develle 16, and it is 5,000 horsepower and a 300-mile-per-hour top speed claimed. All of these are claim figures, but I have no doubt that it's going to become reality. And you're going to see the first, I think, production car, or at least close to production car, on the stand.
I tell you what's amazing is that already we're kind of looking at two different extremes. You know, we're looking at, there's a lot of popularity with the fastest car in the world, but there's also, of course, a lot of popularity with electric cars and hybrid and sustainability. And I think that's where most of the manufacturers are. They're concentrating a lot of their efforts on one extreme and the other.
It is interesting because that is a big juxtaposition between the two focuses. But you think that's partly because of where we are, because, you know, we do love big, powerful cars here. On the other hand, yes, we're trying to all be greener, and that's part of the mission of the government as well. And we all know that greener cars are the future, but we can't let go of those big engines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not to say that, you know, things like electric cars aren't quick. Look at the Tesla. It's amazingly quick, especially in ludicrous mode. But you're absolutely right, Claire. I think in particular in this region, we still have that love for big, fast cars, because we live in a fast environment, not just when it comes to cars.
How do you... I'm struggling with this 5,000
Yeah, let's
figure.
Go back to that.
Can we get back to that for a second? Because I remember Bugatti designing the Veyron, and they got to, I think, 1,000 horsepower with that. It's well over 1,000 now. But yeah. When they were on the way to that, in the early days of that, it was an engineering enigma, wasn't it? It was hard to do. It needed all kinds of fans and different whiz-bang bits. I get that. How do you get to 5,000? Because the Veyron wasn't that long ago.
Well, it's not a question of making 5,000 horsepower, because anybody can make 5,000 horsepower for 2 seconds, and then
it goes
boom.
But that's not a car. That is a rocket.
Yeah.
It's like a drag racer.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And that's the real question about this car. How will it perform, etc. And we'll have to wait and see till we get behind the wheel. But I have nothing but high hopes, because these boys have been working on it since the last motor show. It's been 2 years of continuous development. And the engine, they put a dyno video up of it actually on YouTube. You can find it. So it is a real 5,000 horsepower engine. Right. But of course, that car is going to have to be pretty beefy to handle that kind of speed and good brakes.
Pretty
hope.
Beefy, yeah. It is.
But pretty, it's going to be heavy as hell.
Pretty beefy.
Is that just a concept? Nobody's really going to drive that on the roads here, are they? I mean, that's just frightening.
Yeah, it will be.
The difficulty is that driving something with so much power at a decent, reasonable, slow speed, for anybody who's had the opportunity to drive, for instance, a supercar, we wonder why we see people driving around in them at relatively slow speeds, but you do have to concentrate quite a lot to keep the speed down. And you know, as Imtiaz was saying, a lot of the problem when you get to sort of high-powered vehicles, any high-powered vehicle, is making sure that the whole vehicle is going to stay in one place, because that's a lot of, I mean, an awful lot of energy that's going through the gearbox and the wheels and the chassis, not to mention yourself.
Yeah, the supercar thing isn't really an enigma to me. I think if you own a supercar, you feel like it's the easiest way to look cool at any speed. If you don't own a supercar and don't have any interest, it's the easiest way to look uncool at any speed. I mean, those are the two camps in the supercar world, aren't they? It just depends which one you're in.
I never drive mine very quickly unless I'm on the track, and I also never put the radio on in my car.
Do you really not? Why not? Why would you not put the radio on?
Because the engine sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
She's got her own soundtrack.
Her own music.
Roaring soundtrack.
Oh, well, so we're talking automotive today. It is the Dubai International Motor Show. Starts next week, and Alex Kappa-Murdoch is here. Imtiaz Giado is here, journalist, and petrol heads, I think it's fair to say. We're going to talk more about the show, what's on, what's happening, what's being launched, and also more about some of the concept cars that are going to be here.
Drive Live, Talks Automotive.
It is all about cars. It's the Dubai International Motor Show, of course, next week. We've got Alex Kappa-Murdoch of Miss Autono in the studio with us, and also Imtiaz Giado, Motoring Middle East. And you guys are heavily involved in the show. Talk us through some of the sessions that you're going to be involved in, Alex.
Yeah, we've got... we've got so many sessions, it's unbelievable, and we're actually on the main stage as well, which will be brilliant. So we've got a minimum of 58 guests, more people trying to participate each and every day. 26 shows in total. I'm going to be looking at some of my favourite topics, women in auto, of course, cars and girls, and being a racing champion. But we're actually splitting them as well. So we've got tech talks from 2 till 5, and then 6 till 9, we've got live shows. I know Imtiaz, he's got his personal favourites as well.
Well, I'm really big into cars and movies, so I'm combining the two into a segment I call Best Cars and Best Movies. So that's going to be one, a pretty fun...
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's stop you there before we let you move on. What are the best cars in movies?
Well, that's a good question. In the 1980s, we had simply the best cars. We had everything from the Magnum Ferrari to the Knight Rider Trans Am.
Oh, yes.
So we had so many cool cars. The trouble is, in this decade, we haven't really had that many cool cars. I mean, people rave just point to the Fast and the Furious, but that's about it.
It's a bit obvious, isn't it? I mean, they're going to have cool cars in that movie. You want to look outside of that.
But the cars don't really stand out.
Surely there would have been somebody like you in the 80s when in the 60s we had this and this, but now look at the 80s, we don't have cool cars anymore.
Yeah, you make a good point there, because the Mustang boys, are the, you know, the 67, 68 Mustang crew.
Well, they're all in the nursing home now, right? So.
What about Bond? And Bond, James Bond, he drives a cool car, doesn't he?
Yeah, the DB5 and all that.
He always has the same car over and over again. It's an Aston Martin. It's not a surprise, is it?
Okay, what's your favourite car in a movie?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's all right.
It's not tough because we know what you drive.
which we've just learned. I had no idea about this. So you have, just reveal what you have, Imtiaz.
I've got a DeLorean. From Back to the Future. So, not exactly the same car, but yes.
Yeah, no flux capacitor in this. But what's it like to drive?
You know, it's actually surprisingly not bad. I think that was kind of a joke car by the time that the whole point of that car in the movie was there was a joke because it was a failed car company. But that movie made that car really cool and now thankfully rather desirable. So it's a hell of an experience. It's just like going back to the 80s being in that thing.
I bet it is. So what was the AC like in summer?
Freezing. Freezing.
I tell you what's quite interesting. When Imtiaz and I first spoke about his car, when I first started taking loads of pictures outside of a cafe that we all hang out at, and not realizing it was his, but actually there were a few in this region, weren't there?
They actually were imported here in 1982, and they were sold from an airbase in Sharjah. I don't know if anybody knew that. They were painted because people didn't want to buy them because they're raw stainless steel.
Yeah,
so people
right.
just didn't like the lack of color. And the RTA at the time, it wasn't the RTA, but they were very confused about what to call it. So the color in the system is silver. But actually, it doesn't have a color. It's just raw stainless steel.
It's an amazing thing because it's actually not as hard as you would think to get parts for. Because what DeLorean did, I know in America, there are lots of parts available. And because they went bust, they had to stockpile the parts. So there are a number of places who have stockpiled parts.
Well, DeLorean was a very ambitious man because DeLorean is a man and the car company bears his name. I'm going to be a very DeLorean nerd here. But basically, he was so ambitious, he ordered 20,000 cars worth of parts. And he'd only made about 9,000 of them.
Yeah, right.
So a very enterprising man from Liverpool bought all the parts and set up a warehouse in Texas, which supplies parts to this day.
A man from Liverpool set up a place in America to sell parts from a car that came from Ireland.
Well, he was the only guy who could fix them at the time. He was the only person working on European cars in LA. And so when Back to the Future rolled around, he was the only guy who was fixing the cars up. He used to take his kids to school in the cars from the movies because they didn't really care. The studio's like, it's just a car. And of course, that car is now worth millions of dollars.
It's remarkable.
So more of those kind of stories in Imtiaz's session on movies and cars.
Well, that leads us into what you're going to be talking about, cars in movies. What are you particularly going to be zooming in on?
There's a lot of stuff that I want to really explode some misconceptions. For example, one of the questions we get asked a lot as a journalist is, what is GCC spec? Because people say I can buy a car, an American import or whatever. So I want to really explain what that is about.
Right.
Then we're talking about things like how to be a car journalist, how to shoot cars like a professional photographer. And of course, we've got the best car ever debate, which is going to be the really kick-off one.
That's going to take till the next car show, isn't it? What is the best car ever, in your opinion, then? I have to ask now.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, that's a really... I think the best car ever... Actually, it's very easy for me. The best car ever doesn't even have four wheels. It has three. It's the Morgan three-wheeler.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say the Robin Reliant, which actually wasn't a bad car.
I don't know. I'd reserve judgment on that.
Many people will have driven one of those here, Alex, don't think.
Best car ever, Alex Kappa-Murdoch?
Do you know what? I'm actually going to save the best car ever because I want to save it for the actual event. But
you've got one in mind then?
Absolutely, 100%. I have my best car ever. I have owned one as well.
Ooh,
it's a clue there. I think it ticks all the boxes because... It's so difficult, isn't it? I mean, you could ask anyone, and there's so many different categories, and obviously cars have been around for so long, and we don't necessarily have to think about cars that are, you know, standard, traditional engine-driven. So there's lots out there.
Do you know what the thing is? I mean, as much as it's almost impossible to zoom in on the best car ever, to zero in on that, and it's different things to different people, as you say, what you highlight there, Imtiaz, is the passion behind a show like this, the attendees at a show like this, to go and see people like you talking, to go to the launches. There's a... I don't know. It's almost cult-like, the following
I think
it is. It's a bit overly strong, but you know what I mean.
The industry is at a bit of a crossroads right now, right? Because we are at this point where petrol is the past and hybrids could be the future, electric cars could be the future, hydrogen cars could be the future. So we as journalists are trying to channel that passion and try to figure out what comes next. And for a lot of people, it's a confusing time as well because they're used to seeing one kind of car, but another kind of car, you might not even be driving a car in 20 years. In fact, I don't think you'll be driving in 20 years. So this is all a bit of a muchness, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing. Now, my son said to me the other day, he said, I may be the first of a generation that doesn't get a driving license.
That's bizarre.
He's 14 years old, but he's looking at a point where, hold on a minute, if it goes the way it goes, it may be that he just doesn't have a driving license.
There's also today, Uber have announced the start of the testing for the Air Uber transport as well in America. Okay. So.
All right, then we're going to talk more about cars in a moment. We'll come back and answer the text as well.
It's not a question. It's just from Owen, who says the best car ever is the VW Beetle. He just doesn't want to ask. That's what he's saying.
Well, there's an argument for that, I suppose. discuss during the break. We'll come back and talk to you. Alex Kappa-Murdoch is here, as is Imtiaz Jiado. It is the Dubai International Motor Show next week. The next topic is this. Cars of the future.
Drive Live. Talks Automotive.
And two guests here today. Alex Kappa-Murdoch is here. MissAutoKnow.com is Alex's venture. And Imtiaz Jiado, motoring Middle East journalist with us. Gorang texted in for you a few moments ago, Imtiaz, and says, let me just read this, some of the best cars that he likes. How are you, Imtiaz? You 103.8 basher. Which is nice, I thought.
It's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
Fair.
You do know Gorang.
I got school with him, actually. That explains a lot of sense.
He says the SUV, Range Rover, sedan, the S-Class, Coupe 911, Amphibian, 007 Lotus. They're the best cars.
He does like
ever.
Some fancy cars.
They are nice, aren't
nothing,
they?
Nothing poverty about any of those choices.
It's true. Somebody else likes the Mini Classic. Yeah. Best car ever.
Understandable. So, cars of the future is what I wanted to bring up with you now. Bill texted in a moment ago. Bill Carter, who is a regular guest on this segment, actually knows his cars. He thinks the hydrogen fuel cell is the future. Is that the case? Either of you can take that.
Do you know what? I've actually driven that car, and it was just felt like a normal car. Of course, being typically Toyota, there's nothing really half-made about it. It felt absolutely finished. But they still said it's about 5 years away from being production, as in retail, because right now it's only on a limited trial basis around the world. It is a production car, but it's one that they're treating more as a seed vehicle to try and get these concepts out there, build the infrastructure, and then get some feedback on how these vehicles perform in the real world. But the trouble with hydrogen has always been the infrastructure. You just can't go into your local hydrogen store and get hydrogen.
That would take it's difficult to do, isn't it? I suppose so.
It's a real chicken and egg problem, isn't
hybrids
it?
Hybrids are pretty much here. Maybe not so much here in the UAE, but they're very much taken hold. If you go to any major international city, the taxis are generally hybrids of one description or another for obvious reasons. So that's kind of the first stage. Is that what it's going to be? Hybrids, then electric? Is hydrogen fuel cell a real possibility, Alex?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, as Imtiaz says, it's making sure that it's sustainable and that we have the ability to get hold of what we need. And that's really what we've seen for decades, because we've been talking about electric cars. In fact, electric cars were more prominent in sort of 1910 to 1930 than engine-driven, than petrol-driven vehicles. It's just that at the time it made more sense because fuel was relatively cheap, they were noisy and, you know, and there was a lot of smog around big cities, New York in particular. But it's taken all this time to set up. If you think about, 10 years ago we barely saw an electric charging station anywhere. But now, even here, they're popping up everywhere. And as long as we keep doing that, then, yeah, the future is going to change quickly.
Before we let you go, Alex, quickly talk us through those sessions you mentioned earlier that you're looking forward to in terms of driving and cars and women.
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot of discussion at the moment with women in the automotive industry and women drivers in particular because of the announcement that was made in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, we can't wait for women to be given the opportunity to drive there. And I think now a lot of the manufacturers and dealers as well also realise that there's a lot more women buying cars, and if they're not buying cars for themselves, women tend to have a lot more say in what the family car is going to be. So I'm going to be having some great conversations. In fact, a couple of conversations with women who are very prominent in the automotive industry, women working within automotive, but also women who are really standing out there. And of course, there's the motor racing element as well, so I will be touching on motor racing, and we may perhaps even see a few women in that as well.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. One last text before you go. Can we just say the E-Type and end the debate? Aye, thank you.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. What do you think, Imtiaz?
I think the E-Type is potentially the most beautiful car ever made.
I'd say so. Alex, you're nodding.
It's very close to the car that I'm going to bring up on stage.
Okay, then. So, Dubai International Motor Show is from the 14th to the 18th of November, Dubai World Trade Center. You can see these two guys there and all the great and the good of the automotive world. Alex Kappa-Murdoch from Miss Autono. Lovely to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And also Imchen Giado, Motoring Middle East. Good to see you, Imchen. Nice to be back.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.